You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's topic is, why do we hold on to bad relationships? Why do we hold on to bad relationships? It's a good question, right? A lot of us are doing this right now. Some of you are in bad relationships right now and don't know what to do about it. You don't know what to do about it. You've thought about breaking up. You've thought about ending it, but then something just pulls you right back in. And the next thing you know, you're going through the same process month after month, year after year, not knowing what to do. Some of you listening tonight have gone through this process and exited stage right after much battling and much stress and anger and resentment. And finally, you ripped the cord. It was time to get out of there. But it takes time. And you know, the reasons we do it is so important. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is not only the reasons we stay in bad relationships, but those outcomes of the reasons we stay in. And what happens when we choose that reason and we stand behind it? What are the outcomes that we have to live through? And what we can do tonight, beginning tonight, what we can do to stop this pattern and to get out of the bad relationships? Because that's what's most important, right? How do we get out of it? Why should we get out of it? And what are we trying to do to ourselves? And what are the roadblocks that we're putting up in our own life to stay in this negative, bad relationship? You know, the first reason we have a tendency of staying in bad, non-working relationships is we don't want to give up what we have until we have something to replace it with. This is like a human thing, right? We want to always have something, and we don't want to get rid of that until we have something better. I mean, we do this with jobs, right? You're in the job market, and you have a job, and everybody goes, well, you don't want to quit your job until you have another job. And it's like we take all this analysis from our job life and we bring this into our relationship life. Well, you know, you don't want to quit that relationship until you have a better one. I don't think that's the same thing as the job market. And I think it gets in our way. And I'll talk about how it gets in our way and the outcome of that later. But that's the first reason we hold on to bad relationships. The second reason we hold on to bad relationships is that we don't like to be alone. Okay, most of us don't like to be alone. Most of us dread the idea of going home. It's quiet. Nobody's home. Turning the TV on. I mean, how many of you right now are listening to this show? You're listening to Perspectives with me, Ashley Burgess. You're listening to the show. And you're standing at your kitchen counter, standing up, eating. And I'm sure you're eating kind of fast. You're eating fast, you're not chewing that much, you're standing there, you're listening to the show. You know, you don't even sit down. I mean, what kind of life is this? And I've been there before. And the only reason I know about this is because I've done it. When I've been alone, and I was in relationships, I was one of those people that was like, you know, start, rinse, and repeat. I was in a relationship like my whole life, except for when I took a hiatus off for 2 years. And that was the best thing I had ever done in my whole life. But when I began that hiatus and had all this time to myself, it started off scary. It scared the crap out of me. Go home, nobody there. Oh, I had a dog. Awesome dog. Dolce was the coolest dog ever. I mean, my dog now is awesome, Buddy, but they kind of are very similar, even though they're totally different breeds, but very similar. And I'd go home and hang out with him. But as far as another human and human contact, I chose not to have that because I chose to learn and understand myself. And I'm going to talk more about that later on. But if you're standing at the kitchen counter right now, eating or drinking, grab a seat. Get comfortable. You know, when you're by yourself, it's good to try to court yourself, to actually spend time with yourself. And I know none of us like to be alone. A lot of us don't. But once you get to know yourself better, it's not bad. Because the reason why we don't like to be alone is because you don't like to be with a stranger, right? It's not really great to like hang out with a stranger. And when you're a stranger to yourself, that's how it feels. you feel like you're constantly with a stranger. And nobody wants to be sitting with a stranger 24/7. You got to get to know them. You don't sit across from somebody on a plane ride or something like that for 15 hours and never speak to them. That's asinine. And the same thing goes for us. I mean, a lot of times we don't ever talk to ourselves. And I don't mean like in a weird way, but get to know ourselves, write and journal. We don't do it. We'd rather spend time with anybody else but ourselves. You know, the third reason why we have a tendency of staying in bad, non-working relationships is we don't want to have another failed relationship. And I think this is one that calls to a lot of people. The last thing you want to have is a failed relationship. I don't want to have another failed relationship. I'm going to make this relationship work if it's the last thing I do. I mean, they've made shows, they've even made sitcoms about people that stand in this relationship. They do whatever they have to do to make this relationship work. The relationship has no chance in heck. No chance. But they're going to stick in it because they don't want to have another failed relationship. Because they believe that if they have a failed relationship, what? That means that they fail. That means that they're a failure. And nobody likes to be a failure, but does that really make you a failure? Or is that all in your head? You know, the next reason that we like to hold back and stay in bad relationships is because what? We're scared that we're not going to find someone. We're scared that we're not going to find anybody better, that this is the best it's going to get, that, you know, sometimes there's that whole guilty conscience thing going on too. Not only are you scared you're not going to get anything better, but you worry that maybe you're asking for too much. Well, you know, maybe I should just stick with what I have. I mean, I'm lucky to have that. I mean, even though we fight and we cuss each other out all the time, and I hate going home, but at least there's somebody at home. And maybe I'm just asking too much. Well, I'm telling you tonight, if you're having a lot of arguments and you're fussing and fighting all the time, and you can't come to a middle ground, and you don't like doing the stuff that they like to do and vice versa, you have a problem. You're not in a relationship that's going to work out. This relationship, over a period of time, will disintegrate. And if it doesn't disintegrate, it's going to disintegrate you. Because the thing about marriage or long-term relationships is that, guess what? They are part of your life. And that whole relationship quotient is so big in our lives that it takes over our mind. And the more problem and troubling the relationship is, the more mind share it takes. The more mind share it takes, the more issues that you can't deal with outside of the relationship, the more contaminated other issues become, the more stressed out you become. And all these things kind of bubble up to a surface, and you're dealing with this stress, this guilt that you might not find anybody else, that you're asking for too much. You know, maybe you're asking for too much. You know, and a lot of times, going back to the idea of not wanting another failed relationship. Yeah, I mean, how many people want to say, yeah, we broke up? But, you know, I don't really care what other people think. And you shouldn't either. Because in the end, there's nobody else going to have to live with that person but you. If you decide to break it up, break it off, that's you. I mean, I tell women a lot of times, too, that come into my office, I go, hey, if you go into a shopping mall and you go into the store and you try something on and it makes you look like a freight train, but the sales lady says you look like $1 million, if you feel like you look like a freight train, are you going to buy that expensive dress? And I mean, and some of us get talked into buying that stuff, but for the most part, they don't have to live with it. They don't have to walk into the dinner looking like that. You do. And the same goes too for relationships. It doesn't matter what your friends think. It doesn't matter what your family thinks. I mean, sometimes, you know, I know some folks that come into my office and say, my family thinks I can't hold a relationship down. They never think that I'm ever going to be able to do this or do that. They think I'm never going to get married. Well, you know what? Sometimes you have to tell your family, I love you, but you're going to have to back off. I know what I want, and you know what? Better yet, I know sure and heck fire what I don't want. And I don't want to fight, and I don't want to argue every single night of my life. My life is worth more to me than that. And I'm not going to be guilted into the concept that I can't make a relationship work. And you know what? For all you out there that have had several failed relationships, you know what? You tried. And to me, when you try something, you never failed. The thing that you did is you learned. You actually had a learning process that other people haven't had. When we learn about what we don't want, it helps us get to that next level. You know, when we return, we'll be talking more about the reasons why we stay in bad relationships, as well as those outcomes of those reasons, because the outcomes are really, really important. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about why we hold back and stay in bad, non-working relationships. You know, the reasons why we stay in bad relationships are so interesting, as much as interesting as the relationships themselves. You know, the first reason we stay in bad relationships is that we don't want to give up what we have until we have something else. We don't want to be alone. We don't want another failed relationship. You know, we're scared we're not going to find anybody. And we feel guilty, possibly, that maybe our sights are just too high. Maybe we're asking for just too much. And I think one of the next reasons that a lot of people deal with, that you might be dealing with right now, is that you're tired of fighting. You're tired of fighting for happiness, and you just basically succumb to the relationship. Because sometimes when these relationships are difficult and tumultuous, and all these issues combine in one, and you're fighting all the time, you just finally just say ceasefire, the white flag comes up, and you go, I give up. I'm going to settle right now. I give up. I'm just settling in this relationship because you know what? I don't want to fight anymore. Honey, you're right. Fine, honey. That's great. That's fine. But where does that get us? Where does that get us when we settle? Because eventually, we're going to realize it. And eventually, we're going to wish that we had fought for our happiness. We're going to wish that we had actually believed in ourselves enough to care about our ultimate happiness. And we would have wished that we would have actually done something, because if we keep waiting years and years and months and days and years and keep on going, we're going to be more unhappy, more jaded. I think the next reason why we stay in these bad relationships is that ultimately we're scared to make a change. Change is hard. And for some of us, change is almost impossible. Most of us don't like change at all. We're scared by change. Change scares us, stresses us out, and makes us feel weird. And so breaking up or ending a relationship or moving out is a massive change that most of us don't want to ever deal with, don't want to deal with, can't deal with, don't think we can. And you know, there's no can't in life. There's no can't. That's kind of a cop-out. I can't deal with this. Well, you know what? If you care about yourself and this relationship's not working, you got to move on. You got to move on. And we'll talk about that later, how to actually move on. And better yet, though, the outcomes of not moving on. Because sometimes people say, well, you know what? It'll just get better. But does it? I remember a friend of mine recently had a toothache. And he said, do you think it's going to get better? And I said, well, if it's not sinuses and it's not something else, it's probably not going to get any better. And he said, well, what do you think will happen? I go, well, if it doesn't get any better and it continues to get worse, you need to do something about it. Why? Well, it could be an abscess. It could be a problem. Well, he kept waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And eventually he had to get the tooth pulled. It didn't get any better. And it's like, why wait for something that you know is not going to get better? And I understand that waiting, you hope maybe that person might make the decision. Maybe I'll get out of having to make this change, but inevitably, for your own happiness, we have to step up to the plate and make a decision. I think another reason why we stay in bad relationships is we're scared to bring it up, but we're scared mostly of how they're going to react to the situation. How are they going to react to you breaking it off? Do you even bring up the issues? Some people can't even bring up the issues with the person they're in the relationship with because the person's going to yell and scream and fight over it. And if you're in a relationship like that, you have to like question yourself, why am I in this relationship? And also, you kind of have to pull the Band-Aid off. There comes a time when you got to jump up and say, you know what? I've had enough. I'm done with this. I'm tired of it. And I got to move on. Now, these reasons that we have are very compelling. You know, these reasons that we don't want to give up until we have something. We don't want to be alone. We don't want another failed relationship. All these reasons are very compelling. And a lot of them are stories in our mind. And what happens from these reasons is we have these reality life outcomes. Where these reasons put us, kind of like where they functionally put us in life. And the first outcome of one of these reasons is that we're not going to find anybody until we let go of what we have. So not wanting to give up what we have until we have something else, like the whole job career concept put into a relationship or marriage, is asinine. You can't find something else until you let go of what you have. I mean, it's just catch 22. You can't do it. I mean, sure, you're going to find more of what you already have, but also you're not going to be in the mindset. You're not going to be in the mindset to find a true relationship because you're dealing with this battle over here. And it's timing. You know, relationships and timing are part of each other. And to have a good relationship, it's got to be good timing. And you still in a bad relationship is not good timing. I mean, you've met people before, and I think this is a valid example. I mean, think about it. How many people listening tonight have been in a dead-end marriage where you've waited it out, and then, you know, you've gone through all this stuff, and you meet somebody, and that person finds out that you're married, and you tell them, you know, because you got to be honest about it, and they take off? Or better yet, how many people have been in a divorce, and you meet somebody that they're in the middle of a divorce, and they seem to be perfect, but yet the timing is all off? And timing and relationships go hand in hand. And if you hold on to something too long and you let that shelf life keep going, you're going to have a problem on your hands. And you're going to miss out on the opportunity that's there that you can't see because you're not allowed to see it yet. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You got to move on. And also, if you're holding on to this baggage, holding on to a bad relationship, you got to clarify within you why you're doing that. What's missing within you that you don't want to make that decision? You can't get out of this relationship. And I think one of the biggest reasons why that is that most people don't want to be alone. And because they don't want to be alone, they like to do relationship and relationship and relationships. So they don't want a lot of time in between. I know some folks that have come into therapy that literally are in an awful relationship, but they're on dating sites behind their significant other's back, trying to find someone else. And I said, this is insane. You're missing out on the biggest relationship of your life. And that relationship is not with that other person. It's with you. The best relationship and the most fulfilling relationship you can ever have in your entire life is with yourself. And once you get to understand yourself and get to that next personal level, guess what? You get to understand a lot of things about life that you've never understood before. You understand people better. You understand situations. You have more empathy, more understanding. And also, guess what? You figure out problem situations really before they arise. And the more you get to know yourself and develop a relationship with yourself, spending time alone, getting out of a bad relationship that's no longer working, and get to know yourself. Because it's a good idea to know why you got in that relationship in the first place. It's a learning. It's a learning tool. And the more we learn about ourselves, the more we're able to extrapolate that learning and bring it into all our relationships. And you know what? Once you get to know yourself really well, you don't waste a lot of time on relationships that don't work. And this isn't just for relationships as far as love is concerned. And this is concerning business, work, all kinds of relationships. Once you realize and understand people and understand the different nuances of people and understand what you like and what you can be around and what you can't, what's your kryptonite, you can understand that really, really well when you get to know yourself, and you can translate that into all future relationships. And better yet, you don't waste your time in the future anymore because you already know what you want and you can identify what's not that. And better yet, what is what you want? When we return, we're going to be talking more about the outcomes of our personal reasons for staying in bad relationships. And in the last segment, we'll talk about what you can begin to do now to not stay in this relationship, to move forward with your life, and to get to that next level, to that next page in the book of your life. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Why do we stay in bad relationships? That's what we're talking about tonight. The reasons why we stay in bad relationships, the outcomes of those reasons, and later on how to overcome that bad relationship and move on with your life. You know, the reasons why we stay in them is, you know, we don't want to be by ourselves. We don't want to give up what we have until we have something else. We don't want another failed relationship. We're tired of fighting for our happiness, so we just succumb to the relationship we're in and just deal with it. We're scared to make changes. We're scared of the way that they're going to react if we bring it up. But the outcomes of the reasons are what's interesting. This is what gets to you. This is the core of the matter. Is that, you know, we wait to try to find something and we hold on to what we have, but we're never going to find something good if we're holding ourselves down with a bad relationship. We're never going to be able to learn about ourselves if we never want to be alone. And that's the most important relationship we can have, is to learn about ourselves. And the more we learn about ourselves, the more we learn about other people. You know, we're also holding ourselves down. We're holding ourselves back from happiness by staying in a bad relationship. I have friends call me all the time. I don't know what to do. This isn't working. You know, I mean, we fight all the time. We don't even like doing the same things. I mean, but we have a few things in common, but, you know, and it's like, you know, why are you beating yourself down month after month, year after year, of being in a relationship that doesn't work? And you have friends like that that call you up almost every other day to tell you about that same relationship that's not working. And you go through the same advice and you help them the same way. And recently what I do a lot of times is I'll hear them out and then I'll say, what is the outcome? What are you going to do to make this situation better? How are you going to overcome the situation? And eventually they come up with the fact that they have to move out. They have to move out. They can't live here anymore. This is so out of control. Well, how are you going to help them move out? There has to be a plan. Because otherwise, if you kept getting back together, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, this is rough. I mean, this is like, you know, this is awful. It's a painful process. And I see people do it all the time. And it doesn't make it easy, but it's like eventually you have to step up to the plate and realize that you deserve happiness. This relationship's not working, and you have to be the one that's the leader. You've got to take the leadership role, because if both of you are followers, it doesn't work. And in order to get out of a bad relationship, you've got to move on. And that other person, if they're staying in it, they're not planning on moving on, or maybe they're waiting for you to do something subconsciously. It's interesting, too, how when we hold on to a bad relationship, and I've done this before. For everybody listening tonight, I've been in bad relationships, okay? I've been in the worst relationships. And I remember just like going out and talking to my friends and almost all the time I'd be like, oh, they did this, they did that, they did this. And eventually I heard myself talk and I go, oh my God, why do I put myself in this drama? Is it the drama I love? And if it's the drama you love, you need to really check yourself and figure out what's going on. Because you don't really love this person at all. You just like the drama. You like the intrigue, you like the drama. And when we do this and we stay in a bad relationship, it affects our entire life. I don't care how many people out there say, well, I can compartmentalize it. No, you can't. You can't compartmentalize anything. Everything that's big and takes up about a third of your life. So like a third of your life, you sleep. A third of your life is about relationships. And a third of your life is about work. If it's one of those three things and you're having a problem with it, you can't compartmentalize it. You know how when people don't sleep, you know when people have insomnia, their whole life is a wreck. Their whole life's a wreck. They can't sleep. They're messing up on the job. They're irritable, they're angry, they're grumpy, they're getting in auto accidents, they're making bad decisions. Think about it. If you're in a bad relationship, it is just not working. That is interfering in all areas of your life. That interferes in your work, that interferes in your sleep, that interferes in all relationships and everything in your entire life. And that's causing a problem. I mean, are you happy with that? Is that working for you? Does that make you feel good? I don't think so. And so we have to step back and analyze, why am I doing this? Why am I in this situation? Why am I staying in a bad relationship? Why am I allowing this to be? The next outcome, which I think is an interesting one, and it's something that I have done a million times, is that you begin to rationalize all the issues and all the problems and the situation and the other person's behavior. And you begin to rationalize this and say, eh, well, you know, that's normal. Or, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Or if I hadn't have done that, then they wouldn't have done that and none of this would have happened. And you begin to rationalize issue after issue, point after point, on a constant basis. You're constantly rationalizing one thing or another. And it's interesting because the more we rationalize idiotic behavior, the more we rationalize manic behavior and borderline personality disorder behavior, the more we rationalize narcissism, the more we rationalize just the concept that this relationship doesn't work, the more we rationalize that, the longer we stay in the relationship. And I think it's interesting, too, because it's almost like the concept of the murder weapon. So you see these TV shows, even back in the day, Murder, She Wrote, they were always looking for the murder weapon, right? And it's kind of similar in a relationship. When there's problems, you know there's a huge problem, there's an elephant in the room, you got this huge problem, but you're looking for that little element, that little piece of information that you feel like you've lost. Well, she acted this way today. Well, he said that. And it's like you start nitpicking on the small stuff when it's the whole relationship. It's not about they wanted to go on a vacation by themselves. It's not about, you know, they took off and didn't come home last night. It's about the concept that this relationship is probably not working. And when we start looking for things to rationalize, that's when we've kind of taken ourselves out of the game. We're inside like one of those snow globes now. We're so close to the issue that we can't see the forest through the trees. Your friends can sit there and tell you everything and you don't listen to them. And I'm not always saying that you should listen to other people, but sometimes when everybody's saying it, you might want to take a gander. You know, sometimes when everybody's saying it, instead of trying to rationalize whatever that other person's doing, you can kind of get some distance. Distance in a relationship does anybody well. Distance in a relationship helps people put into perspective the situation that they're currently dealing with. And instead of rationalizing why they did this, or when I came home, why they threw the casserole at me, or why they did that, get rid of that little piece of information, add that to the whole, step back, and look at your relationship as though you were someone else. And I like to do that a lot of times because when you see your spouse and you kind of look at them through the eyes of someone else being, don't think about yourself and look at it from an outside perspective. And it's really not that hard to do. I know you're going, how do you do that? But it's not that hard. See what it would be like. Okay, so it's almost like if you're looking at your Facebook page or you're looking at your LinkedIn and it shows how other people see it. So a lot of times your successes seem small to you, but when you read it on a piece of paper and you don't look at it as you, you go, wow, that's some great stuff. I mean, how many times have you written a resume and gone, and you look back at your resume and you go, wow. And this whole time you're like, I haven't done anything. The same thing goes with the relationship you're in. Whether it's your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever. Step back and analyze the relationship from an outside perspective. This does a lot of things because it allows you to see maybe the good things about them that you haven't realized because you're too close. It also shows you the relationship problems that are so glaring that everybody else sees it, but you haven't seen it. And when you see that for the first time, it'll scare you. And, you know, a lot of this goes because we're so close to a situation. And a good example is, I remember my past dog, Dolce, and I love that dog. And I ended up having to, after almost about a year of battling with cancer and all this medicine, it was one night at 3 a.m. in the morning, I had to put him down in an emergency clinic. And it was devastating. And it was about 2 weeks after his passing. And I was looking at the pictures that I had taken about a month before. And we had had this amazing time and all this stuff. And even I had taken pictures the day that earlier in the day before we had to put him down, before we had to euthanize him. And I looked at these pictures and I go, oh my God. And my dog was dying. And he was happy. He was happy, but he had lost so much weight. And because I was so close to the issue, I couldn't see it. And it wasn't until I stepped back and I was looking at a picture of it when I realized, oh my gosh, I'm delighted that he was with me in my life. And God bless, he's still here in my heart, my soul, and his energy. At the same point, oh my gosh. And the same thing goes with relationships. I remember when I was going through that and I was sad and I was depressed about losing him. And it wasn't until I looked in the mirror and I realized, my God, I've gained 20 pounds. I've gained 20 pounds eating because I was eating because I was depressed. I was eating to try to comfort myself. And I didn't really even think about it. I remember I was at a restaurant one time and I was ordering a breakfast and it was called the Texas Feast. And it had 3 eggs, not to mention the toast and the breakfast potatoes. And I said, could you add an extra couple, 2 eggs, please? Make that 5 eggs, please. And I was like, oh my God. And it wasn't until I heard myself say it. And I didn't realize this whole time that everybody had been staying quiet. And the same goes for a bad relationship. If you look in the mirror one day and realize that you're eating your sorrows, that you're eating your feelings, and you look at yourself and you don't even look the same, you're not in a good marriage. If you don't like going home to them and you try to do as much work as possible, you're not in a good marriage. You're not in a good relationship. You need to realize why. You know, and there's a lot of things that you can begin to do right now to ease yourself out of that relationship and to move on. And it's not all about you. And that's what's so great about it is I know that it's hard to do this in life because we sit there and think, well, we're being so selfish. And it's not. You're not being selfish. You're not at all. You're actually going to be doing them a favor. Because if you stay in this relationship and you hold on to it and you're still harboring issues, that's not right. You're holding them back from finding someone that they can love and someone that loves them, and you're holding yourself back. Stay tuned. When we return, I'm going to be talking about what you can begin to do right now to get yourself out of that bad relationship. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in 2 shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about why we actually hold ourselves back and stay in bad relationships. You know, right before the break, I was talking about how a lot of times we rationalize the problems. We rationalize the situation. We do that because we stick in there because we feel like, well, maybe we're not seeing the whole story. And we miss the whole big picture. And if you look yourself in the mirror and you are unhappy and you look at yourself and you realize that you're stuffing your face because you can't handle the relationship, you're not going home till late because you don't want to deal with it, there's issues. And you've got to deal with that head on. And I'm going to tell you exactly what you can begin to do tonight to get yourself and ease yourself out of a bad relationship. And it's not all about you. I mean, a lot of times people say, well, I don't want to do that to them because I'm going to hurt their feelings. But you know what? If you don't break off this relationship and you don't want it, that's a problem. That's an issue. And that's going to come and bite you in the butt later on. And they're going to be unhappy, and you're going to be unhappy, and you're going to stand in the way of them meeting someone that actually loves and cares for them, and vice versa for yourself. The first thing you can begin to do tonight is to value yourself more. The more we value ourselves, the more we actually value ourselves and see value in ourselves, the better we get. You have to value yourself. And in order to try to value yourself, you have to look at yourself and analyze what makes me happy and understand that you're worthy of being happy. You're worthy of having an honest, healthy relationship. You don't need to be in a toxic relationship. It's not about you. You don't need to do that. That's not what you want. That's not what you need. Everybody's allowed to be loved. Everybody is allowed to have love and to be loved, and you should be loved. And if you're in a toxic relationship, it's time to get out. And a lot of times, toxic relationships are based on the subconscious and unconscious ability that people are not happy, and they know that it's not the right relationship. However, they are so disconnected from themselves that they don't even know how to see that it's the wrong relationship. They're so disconnected, they don't even understand that. So they don't even understand when they're fighting because they don't want to be in the relationship. They just think that you're fighting. Y'all are just having, you know, spats, arguments. But that's not it. A lot of times the fighting is based on the fact that subconsciously you should not be together. And when you value yourself more, you don't accept to be walked all over. And you don't cower down, and you don't sit there and go, you know what? You can sit there and love them and care about them, but you have to respect yourself before other people will respect you. And if you don't respect yourself, other people won't respect you. And there's a lot of times where you find yourself in a bad relationship where someone's walking all over you. And I'll give you a good example of this. You're very nice and you're very generous. And as you're very nice and as you're very generous, that person literally hates you for it. Calls you names, fights with you, starts arguments, yelling and screaming matches, and then fights dirty. I'm going on a trip without you. I'm turning my phone off. I'm not going to talk to you. I hate you. And continues to go down that line of commentary. Until eventually you call them and say, hey, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm not doing this anymore. When you come back, why don't you go on and move your stuff out? And when this happens, the person turns around and completely does a 180. I love you. I care about you. I'm so sorry. I wish we wouldn't fight. What is that about? And if you want to play that game for the rest of your life, go on and accept that relationship now. But to me, life is too short. To me, life is too short to be in a relationship that doesn't work. Especially a relationship that you have to fight for everything. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. And if you're already dealing with this before you're married, you've got to step up to the plate and realize this is only going to get worse. You know, the next thing that you can begin to do is to realize that if you're not happy, they're probably not happy either. Honest to God truth. If they're not happy and you're not happy, think about it. If you're not happy, they're probably not happy. I mean, it's hard to be happy when other people around you aren't happy and it's a hostile environment. So think about it. It's probably not just a one-way street. Now, it could be, but I don't think it is subconsciously. I mean, I think subconsciously both people would have to know. Some people create a barrier around them so much so that they don't really feel their feelings. But for the most part, recognize if you've been unhappy for a long period of time, they are probably unhappy too. Also realize this is not all about you. You're probably doing them a service of letting them go to find someone else that they can be in a relationship with. Think about it. If you let them go, if you're not happy, and you know that this isn't going to work out, rather than spending another how many years together and just being unhappy, let that person go. And it's not all about you. It's about letting them go find someone that they can work out with and have a good relationship. And let me be straight here. Another person cannot make you happy. FYI, incoming data, another person cannot make you happy. Only you can make yourself happy. Only you. Only you can make yourself happy. And if you're with other people to try to make yourself happy, that's a problem. That's a misnomer. You have to already be happy. When you come together as a couple, it's not two halves that come together to make a whole. It's two wholes. You don't want two pieces of a pie coming together. You want two whole pies. That's it. I don't go order pizza and all I have is two slices in the box. No, I want the whole pie. The same thing goes for relationships. Because otherwise you're going to have a codependent issue and a codependent relationship where you're going to end up doing everything for them or vice versa, and they're going to resent you for it. It's like a spoiled child. When you spoil a child, at the time you think you're doing them right, but in the end, they hate you for it. In the end, they hate you for it, and you have to go through years of therapy, and the child has to too, to get to the other side and realize the reality of the situation. The last thing you want to do is to go into a relationship and give them everything, and them hate you for it. And remember that being honest gets you everywhere. Being honest gets you everywhere. Honesty is always the best policy, and it may be the toughest policy, but when you look back at what you went through, and you look back about being honest and genuine and personable and responsible, even if you were breaking up, there's nothing they can say about you that's derogatory. And even if they do, it doesn't matter. You know the truth. And you appreciate yourself for doing what's right. When you do what's right, it might hurt in the beginning, but it feels good later. And you can feel good about your outlook. You can feel good about your future based on the fact that you did what's right by all concerned. Because if you're unhappy and this relationship is not working, it's not a good idea to keep it going. And think about it. When you're in a bad relationship, you can't see the forest through the trees because you're too busy dealing with this bad relationship. You're not going to have a good relationship come into your life. So you have to get rid of the baggage in your life. You have to move forward. You have to get to know yourself. And the more you get to know yourself, the more options you have. And good relationships will come into your life. And eventually the right one will. As long as you're allowed to take a chance on doing what's right and being authentic. When you know that something's going nowhere, or you know that you're holding each other back, you've got to talk about it. You've got to make it a reality. You've got to discuss it, and you've got to move on. It helps nobody to be stuck in traction. And it makes it even more difficult to end the relationship. Because the more time goes by, the harder it is to deal with, it becomes more problematic. And you can't get a good relationship because you already have a relationship. And you don't want to start a new relationship while you're in a relationship because that's not starting off on the right foot. I mean, it's hard to sit there and say, well, yeah, when we met, I was still married, but we worked through that. Well, normally those relationships don't work. And if they work for a little while, they don't work for a long time. You got to get over the bad relationship, move past it, do what's right by all concerned. Get to know yourself more. Court yourself. Spend some time with yourself. If you'd like to call it, you can date yourself. That's what you're going to do. You're going to get to learn and know yourself better. You're going to feel good about yourself. You're not going to be hanging out with a stranger because you know you now. And by knowing you now, you know other people better. And the great thing about it is you begin a relationship with yourself that you never have. And the cool thing about it is you exit stage right on the bad relationship and you end it in a special way. And I like to stress the fact that the ending of a relationship does not have to be fight and drama and craziness and the cops being called out. You can do this with restraint and care. And that's the best way to do it is, hey, I love you and I care about you, but this isn't working for me. And I don't think it's working for you either, if you're going to be completely honest. And I want to be there for you, but I've got to learn more about myself, and maybe they need to too. And I need to move on. And the more that I learn about myself, the better acquainted I'm with myself, the better I can make better decisions and choose wisely. If you get a chance, check out my latest book, The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life. I've also started doing Skype therapy and coaching sessions, as well as in person in my office, which makes it easier. Some people like to come in, and other people prefer to Skype or to call because they don't want the stress of driving in traffic. And if you're dealing with an issue right now with a bad relationship and you're worried about how to exit stage right, how to get out of it, and how to move forward with your life, I can help you. I can help you figure out the reasons behind it, why you're in the situation, and move forward with that. And also learn from the situation, because that's what's so important. Once we learn, we don't redo the cycle. When we learn, we don't have to go through the cycle and over again. We've learned it. We've moved on. So exit this bad relationship. Realize that you have the ability and the power to do so. Looking forward to the next show. And if you have any questions or thoughts, go on my website at ashleyberges.com. Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com. B-E-R-G-E-S.com. And you can contact me on a contact page there, but as well as look at some of the blogs. You can read some of those or listen to some of the past radio shows. And I'm sure that I'm talking about different relationship issues that you might be dealing with right now. And I'm here to help you. I love helping people. It's part of my mantra. And I believe that everybody has the right to a healthy, happy, and successful life. You know, perspectives is always more answers, less questions. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.